Okay, Rabbosai, we have a very, very, very easy sugya today. Straightforward, nothing difficult over here. So let's just do it quickly, get through it. So the Gemara tells us on the bottom of Chav Gimel Aleph, Amar Rav Huna, Chatzes sheyesh lo beis psachim, tzricha shtei neros. Rava lo amar nal mishtei ruchas, abli ruach achas lo tzarech. My time, ilay mishum chashada, chashad de man, ilay mishum chashada de alma, so afil ruach achas namli boy. So the Gemara tells us that we have this concept of chashad, and the case of chashad that the Gemara speaks of is a case where we're concerned about the people who live in the city, and because the people live in the city, sometimes they walk this way, sometimes they walk that way. You have a chatzer, you have a house with two chatzeros, you have this one points to this Rosh Hashanah, this one points to that Rosh Hashanah, and you walk up by one, you'll see he didn't light candles. So people might be concerned, might be choshesh, that he didn't light candles on the other side as well, and he's not fulfilling the mitzvah near Chanukah, and therefore there is a takana de rabbanon to go ahead and light neros on both sides. That is the chiddush of the Gemara. The Gemara does not think this is an obvious thing. Minot timra, where do we find de chayshinan lechashat? That will require someone to do something because other people might suspect him of wrongdoing. Now, I think this is a very modern shaila that Gemara is saying. Why do I have to care what people think? Why do I have to care about what people think? I have to do what's right. I know that I lit on the other side. So who says that I'm required to be concerned about what people are going to think of me? I do what's right. That's it. And the Gemara says, no, that's not true. Is that not only do you have to do what's right, but you also have to be concerned. Where do we see this? We see this when it comes to the mitzvah of peah. And the Gemara says for four different reasons you have to put peah bisof sadeh. Bipnei gezel, bitlanim, chashad, and bal techaleh. Gezel. What's the gezel issue? Because if I'm going to go ahead and put the peah where I want, and it's not in a set place, so I'm going to go ahead and call my relative. My relative is pretty poor. I'm going to say, listen, I'm about to put peah in the middle of my field. Come over and grab the peah. And that's essentially stealing the peah from other anim. It has to be accessible to everyone. And we're concerned about bitul anim. If the ani doesn't know where you're going to leave the peah, so what's he going to do? He's going to hang out by your field all the time, just waiting for you to go ahead and put out the peah. So no, there needs to be a designated place. And finally, the Gemara says, there's also a concern of chashad. Because if you don't put it in the same designated place, people are going to suspect that what? You're not doing peah. And therefore, we see from here that there is an idea of chashad. In other words, we have to not only care about us and Hashem, but we also have to care about how it looks to other people. Yona Hookshlita pointed out to me, correctly so. He reminded me of a Gemara at the beginning of Maseches Brachos, where the Gemara says you shouldn't, in the middle of the end of the day, you shouldn't go hang out in a churva. You shouldn't hang out in a churva. Why shouldn't you hang out in a churva, Yona? Yeah, because that's where sometimes you have illicit activities sometimes. You go into these quiet, dark places, there are women there, etc. Not a good place to be. You don't want to be hanging out on Ben Yehuda. You don't want to play places where these are going to be Ma'irer Chashad. And therefore, you have to be careful where you actually find yourself. Now, this idea, this idea of chashad is also reflected, I think, in a Mishnah in Maseches Shkolim. A very fascinating Mishnah. The Mishnah tells in Perek Gimel of Maseches Shkolim, Mishnah Beis, that when the Kohanim would go ahead and in charge of the Beis HaMikdash, so people would deposit money, the Machatzisat Shekel would be deposited in these boxes in the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah. And every so often, the Kohen would collect the money to go ahead and use for Tzarchei Tzibur in the Mikdash. So the Mishnah tells the Kohen should not walk into the Lishka, into the area where this money was being collected, wearing a big coat. He shouldn't walk in with his tefillin bag. He shouldn't walk in with things places where he can hide things. Why not? Because what's going to happen? It could be that later on that year, this Kohen who walked in with the big coat near the into the Beis HaMikdash by the Lishka to collect the money, all of a sudden, maybe later that year, he became poor. And as a result of becoming poor, what are people going to say? You know why he became poor? Because he had his hands in the cookie jar. He stole, and that's why he became poor. He's punished for the sin of stealing. Or maybe later on that year, he actually became rich. So people are going to say about him, you know why he became rich? Because he stole. So therefore, in any way you go, whether he's a he'et oni or he'eshir, he's going to be subject to people talking about him. And the pasuk, and then the Mishnah tells the pasuk, and the pasuk is lefisha adam tsarich latsesi deha brios kederek shitzarich latsesi deha makom. You have to go ahead and be yotze your obligations, not just in front of Hashem, but also in front of Habrios. That's an amazing thing. Shine Emar, because the pasuk says two different psukim. V'yisem nikim me Hashem umi Yisrael. You have to be naki not only with Hashem, but also with Yisrael, with people. Another pasuk, u'matzachem v'sekal tov b'nei Elokim ve'adam. In other words, you have to even do things that are, you didn't do anything wrong. You lit your Neros Chanukah. You're putting out your payah. Yeah, but if it's going to raise suspicion, even though, know this, there's a dual obligation over here. It's a good Musar topic. There's an obligation on the other people should not be choshed, b'ksherim. You're a kosher. They have an obligation not to be choshed you. But you also have an obligation to what? To not be ma'orer chashad. To not go ahead and put some, create a suspicious situation about you. What Isser is this? What Isser is this? What Isser is it?
It would be
a shot. What Isser is that? I didn't say what Isser? What's the Isser? Yeah. So Rav Soloveitchik thought the Isser is? It's Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara. It's an Isser of Lashon Hara. In what sense is it Lashon Hara? Is because not only can you not speak Lashon Hara about other people, but you can't do things that will reflect poorly on yourself. It's Lashon Hara about yourself, even if it's, you think, okay. But if it's going to go ahead and cause people to suspect you, that's Lashon Hara about yourself. And this is a famous story that is told over. This is printed in the Sefer Nefesh HaRav. Who wrote Nefesh HaRav? Rav Shechter wrote Nefesh HaRav. Stories about Rav Soloveitchik. So he says over here, Rav Soloveitchik told over a story about Chofetz Chaim, that one time the Chofetz Chaim was on a train traveling somewhere, and he was going back to Radin, and he was sitting by a Jew, and the Jew said, "Where are you from?" He says, "I'm from Radin." And he said, "You know the tzaddik, I'm a foursom, you know the great tzaddik, the Chofetz Chaim?" And he says, the Chofetz Chaim said, "Yeah, I know him, I know." And as they're speaking, the other guy said to the Chofetz Chaim, "Wow, the Chofetz Chaim is a big tzaddik, he's amazing, he's gavaldik, he's unbelievable." And and the Chofetz Chaim said, "Yeah, he's okay. Like, you know, he wasn't, he's okay, he's good, he's a good person." And he wasn't like, so this other Jew, Kosalov, he says, "You're embarrassing the tzaddik, you're speaking ill about the tzaddik." And then until the Chofetz Chaim said, "You know what, I learned something new on this train ride. What I learned new on this train ride, that not only is there necessary to speak Lashon Hara about yourself, but you can't, yeah, about others, you can't speak Lashon Hara about yourself either." And when Rav Soloveitchik heard this story, Rav Soloveitchik said, "Da pipshuto hayanir lomer de'ein bozeh kol kach chiddush." This wasn't such a chiddush to him. After all, "Dalo zed din ha-mishnah de'barasayin." This is a mishnah, Masechet Shkolim. You don't need a story from the Chofetz Chaim on the train in Radin in the 1900s to develop this idea. This is a Mishnah in Maseches, Shkolim, Maris Ayin, Sh'ein la'adam bailus al shmo hatov. Do you own your good name? Do you own your good name? You don't own your good name. If you own your good name, then can you sully your name? If you own your name, you could sully your name. You don't own your good name. What does it say in the parentheses? Do you see that word in the parentheses?
Reputation.
Ha-reputation. That's what that means. So those are the hardest words to understand. Ha-reputation shalom. Shirashai limcholo. You don't have a right to mochel on your reputation. So this is all part of what I'll call the broader issue of Lashon Hara. That's one issue. And although Rav Soloveitchik in this letter, in his piece, calls it Maris Ayin, it's not really what we're going to call Maris Ayin. We're going to call this Chashad. This is called Chashad. There's another din. There's another din that seems to be the din of Maris Ayin. This is a famous sugya, which I'm not going to get into. I put in brackets, but source number 3, where the Gemara says, are you allowed to drink blood? Can I go ahead, grab some blood and drink blood? The answer is no. What about Dam Dagim? Can I go ahead, take a kill of fish, pour out its blood and drink dam dagen? The answer is, Minat Torah, dam dagen is mutter. Why is dam dagen mutter? Because the only time there's an isser of dam is an animal that's subject to being a korban to shechita, but dam dagen is not subject, it's not asur Minat Torah. So you can drink dam dagen, no problem. Good. You have to salt the fish? You have to salt the fish?
No.
You have to salt the fish. You can, no problem. So can you drink dam dagen?
No.
I know Minatoya. Yeah. Can you drink dam dagen?
No.
So the Gemara tells us, the Gemara says in Krisus, what does it say? Dam dagen shekinso. If you collect dam dagen, osi. You're not allowed to drink it. Why not? Rashi explains, demichlaf bedam behema. That you might get confused, you might mix what? A person might see a cup of blood, and he says, ooh, I see that Shlomi is drinking blood. You know what that means? Blood is mutter. And you might come, the roer might say, drinking blood is allowed. And he's going to say, he didn't realize it was dam dagim, and therefore you can go ahead and drink dam behema too. So this is what we call the isser of Maris Ayin. You're doing something suspicious, someone sees you, and they might come to do it themselves. By the way, this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, that if you want to have a cup of dam, dagim, are you allowed to? No. How can you cure the problem? How can you cure the problem? Shulchan Aruch says, if you put down some fish scales, if you have some fish skins near the cup of blood, then you're allowed to. Why? Because once you have the fish skins, then what?
Then
people are going to realize it's dam dagen. Now you'll say, but who drinks blood? Okay, what are we, a bunch of vampires? No. So the pshat, why I say this lahalacha, because it's brought down by the post in Shulchan Aruch. And again, today it's much less common, but it was common back in the day. Today we're used to having a pot of milk. But you're at a meat meal, and they're serving coffee at the end of the meal, and now they put down some white stuff. Are you allowed to have the white stuff with your coffee at the end of a meat meal? So the answer is, this sugi would say, no, dam dagim is also because of maris ayin. The caterers were required in this fancy razzle-dazzle meal to have the little couplets, the little mini cups of coffee rich. That highlighted those were the fish scales. That showed that this is not real milk, but rather power of milk. And the concern here is one of Maris Ayin. Now, what I wanted to just point out, and this is what the Sefer Cheslav Ram writes, is that lichora, not a slam dunk, but lichora, Maris Ayin and Chashad. Let's just take a step back, sorry. So what do we say? Chashad is under which rubric? Under which area of Issa would you call Chashad? It's like a Lashon Hara, a Lashon Hara about yourself. You have to be, Visem Nekiyim Im Hashem Ve'im Yisrael. You have to be clean with other people too. You have to do things that are not suspicious in nature. It's a good Musa Shmuz. Good Musa Shmuz. What's the Issa of Marasayim? What's the issue of Marisai? Is people going to what? So give me a dindo rice that you violate when you violate Marisai. What? Lifnei Iver. Lifnei Iver. You're not allowed to put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. What does that mean? You can't go ahead and do things that, if I go ahead and give wine to a Nazir, am I allowed to do that? No. Why? Because Lifnei Iver lo sitei mikshol. So too, if I act in a manner that will promote Averos, so that's an Isra of Lifnei Iver. So Maris Ayin is in the camp of Lifnei Iver lo sitei mikshol. And in light of the foregoing, this is what the Chesed Avram points out, is what's the demarcation between Maris Ayin and Lifnei Iver? So he says, Maris Ayin is only going to be Usur if it's activity that people think is okay. If it's activity that people think might be okay, that's when Maris Ayin kicks in. This is the Chesed Avram. Let's see inside. Source number 5. The Chesed Avram says, "The Maris Ayin hainu b'davar shenira be'enei ha'olam laheter u'bir osam shaploni osa ha'davar hazeh yilmedu mimenu lahat yedavar ha'iser v'lachein af berabim gozru da'adar rabah ha'roesh rab mosim kemah v'adai hatayra ka'avdi v'afil b'chadjach ha'darim." Usher. It's going to be usher even in public and even in private. Why in private? Din yodeh l'shem adam mizeh, yifras mehed l'shem mizahu, etc. In other words, I think this is a very good example. People ask me, I've been asked this question a lot, can you go into a non-kosher Dunkin' Donuts to get a coffee? So I think it's not so simple. Especially if you're in a Jewish neighborhood. Let's say, for example, there's a Dunkin' Donuts in Teaneck. There's also a Dunkin' Donuts in Bergenfield. Let's say. I don't know if there is or isn't, but let's say. And everyone knows there's a kosher Dunkin' Donuts in Teaneck. And a block away in the Bergenfield side of town, or on the other side of Teaneck, there's a Dunkin' Donuts, another Dunkin' Donuts. That's not kosher. So you walk in, they see a guy with a yarmulke walking into a Dunkin' Donuts. That's not kosher. Gets a coffee. Oh, that's the kosher Dunkin' Donuts. And the next guy's going to walk in there and buy a sandwich, assuming that that's kosher too. And therefore, that's a scenario where, to me, that's where this is exactly, people are not clear that it's usser. Where it's not certain that it's usser, that's when you raise the issue. That's when the issue of Maris Ayin comes in. You see a big sign, a deli, and it says on the sign, kosher-style deli. Kosher-style deli. So kosher-style deli, what does kosher-style deli mean?
Meaning not kosher-style.
Well, again, I see kosher-style deli, I might think that's kosher, a kosher deli. You might ignore they used to Rav Schechter when he spoke about Maris Ayin once, back in the day, when in the Lower East Side in Europe, they used to write signs for these non-kosher meat places, butchers, in Hebrew. Because a lot of people from the old country came over, they're not so from them. And they used to write in Hebrew, basar, basar. Basar, basar. But when they wrote the second basar, the bays, they kind of smudged the bays a little bit. So what did it look like? Not basar, basar, but rather basar, kosher. But to walk into that store when I'm going to get a drink, I'm using the bathroom. But to walk in when people might make a mistake, that people think it might be mutter, that's when you have Maris Ayin. And that's what he writes. And it's going to be usher in public, it's going to be usher in Chadre Chadar. In a situation where everyone knows it's usher. Everyone knows it's usher. So now you're in a murkier area. Everyone knows it's usher. So can you go into a McDonald's to buy a Coke? So I think, again, that can cut in two ways. In other words, if you go in, everyone knows it's usher. So you go in to buy a Coke, and there's no concern of Meyer Sign, all these, but what it could raise a concern is, this might depend on one's appearance. If a guy walks in with a long, long beard, and a big yarmulke, and a big whatever, and he walks in, and you see him go in, he comes out with a Coke. Do you think he's eating a cheeseburger? No. But if a guy walks in, and he doesn't look like that, he looks a little more... I didn't say it. He looks a little more... And he walked in, and you see him holding a bag. Now, what could be in the bag? Could be a Coke in the bag. What might you think? You might think he's got a cheeseburger in the bag. And that would be chashad. So there is an element of circumstantiality that will determine whether you're in Maris Ayin or chashad. But this is the chiddush of the Sefer Chesed Avram. Ubacharta Bachayim, the Sefer written by Rav Shlomo Kluger, which I didn't have yet, I just put in brackets, but he just points out, why does the Gemara by us, why does it have to go through this whole give me a source for chashad? Why do I give? Where do you know this list of chashad? Where do you find such a thing? And it comes up with the sugim peya. So the reason says the don't we know Marasan? Marasan is a famous topic. Everyone knows that Marasan. Why do we need a source? The answer is because you have two different halachas. There's halach of Maris Ayin. There's halach of chashad. These are two different halachas which apply in different scenarios. Questions or comments? Yeah. Yeah.
So chashad and Maris Ayin.
They can overlap, but they thought of conceptually as two separate issues.
It seems to be a little bit like Chashad might be like a subcategory of Maris Ayin. Is that possible?
You could categorize as you like, but they are conceptually two different ideas. One is Lashon Hara oriented. Now, it could be that even Chashad is a lashon hara, not just about myself, but by me doing something, people, I'm causing people to speak lashon hara about me. And that's also lifnei there of lashon hara. If I go and do activities that are suspicious, so it's again, it's chashad. It's chashad, but about it's not that they're going to, yeah, no, yes, it's an overlap. It is an overlap type of scenario. Yes, Noah.
Is chashad fundamentally based on the person, the action, or both?
I think it's everything. I think you have to look at the whole package. I really do. In other words, the whole circumstance is going to dictate. So today, for example, where if I see someone with a hot dog and cheese, so 25 years ago, I would have thought, holy smokes, this guy, I thought he was from. Today, what do I think? It's a par of hot dog. It's a, you know, it's a par, or par of cheese, whatever. In Israel, they have par of hot dog, so I don't know from par of cheese. In other words, I think it is circumstantial.
That's the shot, but would Maris Ayin only be regarding the person?
So I'll tell you, a person, I had a shayla once. I was invited to a meeting in a treif restaurant, and I asked my Rav, should I go in with a yarmulke or not into this treif restaurant. I didn't ask him, should I go into the restaurant? I asked him, should I go into with a yarmulke or not? And his answer to me was, yes, you should go in with a yarmulke. Why? Because I was in New York City. And in New York City, it's understood that they're from people that have meetings in treif restaurants, and this happens, and therefore there's no problem. If it was in, you know, Wyoming, if it was in a different kind of place, then maybe he would have told me different. You know, I don't know. But in, I think it is circumstantial. Yes?
I want to say, what is the reason why we say that in Chadish Adarim, Maris Ayin still applies?
I think the reason the Ron brings in Beitza and the Dape Harif Daftes is that because we're worried someone, you never know when you're alone. Because you never know who's going to be looking.
So Yaakov asked me, what about a room that has no windows whatsoever? You're sure no one's looking.
Right.
So
I'm going to add another. I'll tell you the following. I think this is the pshat, but I think it does. It's not where I wanted to go, but I'll just mention it now. When we speak about Maris Ayin, sometimes there's what's called generic Maris Ayin. You're not allowed to do things which, given the circumstances, might cause a person to sin, might cause a person to eat not kosher, the Dunkin' Donuts type of example, the buser kind of example. There are other circumstances where the Chazal came and said, this is usur. Why Mishum Maris Ayin? But Chazal made a specific issue. For example, there's a Gemara in Maseches Beitz that says you're not allowed to hang out wet clothing to dry on Shabbos. Why can't you hang out wet clothing to dry? Because people are going to see that and think that you did what? You washed the clothing on Shabbos, which is awesome. Since they're going to think that, you can't even hang it out to dry. Now, and then the Gemara says, even Bechadre Chadorim, even in your bathroom, you can't hang it out to dry, when no one's going to see. Why not? Because they made a gzera, you can't hang out clothing. Why? Because of Maris Ayin. But the gzera is, you can't hang out clothing. And then it's going to apply below plug, even bechadre chadar, Vayter in Shas. Okay. Rabosai, now you have, we've been talking about both Isurim and Mitzvahs. I want to talk about Mitzvahs. You have a Mitzvah where you're commanded to act, to do something, Mishum Maris Ayin, or Mishum Chashad, as the case may be. Do you make a bracha when you have to perform because of Chashad Maris Ayin? For example, when you light the candle, you're about to light, because of Chashad, do you make a bracha on that candle? So the Ran in our sugya says, if the whole motivation is your motivation, Eros Chanukah, is your motivation Chashad. Your motivation is Chashad, Ein Mevarch. You don't make a bracha. Now, I'm going to not snow you because I have too much respect for you. But there is a Rashba in the Tshuvas. And the Rashba says in the Tshuvas, if you're required to do it, I don't care why you're required to do it. If the Chacham said you have to, then it's a mitzvah and you do what? And you make a bracha. No matter what. Chashad, Maris Ayin, I don't care. But I want to play this out. The Ran says, no bracha. comes along the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch with a very, very interesting case. The case of the Ben Pakua. What is a Ben Pakua? A Ben Pakua is an animal that you find alive and well after you shechted its mother. Meaning, it's in the mother's womb, you shechted the mother, you open up the mother, and boom, the baby walks out. Shalom Aleichem. And the baby grows up to be a big boy, nice and yummy, fat. And it's time for Din Din. So you want to take the baby and kill it and eat it. Are you allowed to? The answer is, you're allowed to eat it. Not only are you allowed to eat it, but you don't have to do Shechita. Why don't you have to do Shechita? Because it was already shechted. How was it already shechted? It was already shechted. Agav, imo. It was in its mother's body, shechted. It's considered basar of the mother, so it had a shechita already. So it doesn't require shechita mikratin. That's called a ben pakua. But it's walking around. So the halacha is, if it's walking around, mi de rabbanon, what do you have to do? Shechted. Now the question is why? Now I know Noah Kummel is going to jump all over me, correctly so, but I'm learning a shach, not a Noah Kimmel. So the shach says, why do you have to shecht it? Shach writes 2a, midivreyem, dilma, osi la'achlufe b'shar behemos. Because this animal might get mixed up with other animals. And kisheroin, when people see she'ochel also below shechita, when people see you eating this animal without shechita, what are other people going to end up doing? They're going to think, oh, this species of animals doesn't require what? Doesn't require shechita. But they didn't realize that this animal was a what? Was a ben pakua. In other words, according to the shach, why do you have to shecht a ben pakua? Because of chashad, because of marazayin. Because of marazayin. Because of Mara's eye. Now you could have learned, as Noah Kimmel wants to learn. Well, I would have said, because of Chashad. Because people are going to see me do what? Take a stone, knock it on the head, kill it, now start eating the meat. They're going to think, whoa, I thought he was from. I thought he was from. He's eating it now without Shechita. But the way the Shach is learning is because of Mara's eye. Do you have to make a bracha when you shech the animal, Mishum Mara's eye? So the crazy place he suggests, a nice, interesting nafkamina. He says, if your motivation in doing a mitzvah is chashad, the Ran rules the day. And what does the Ran say? No bracha mishum chashad. The whole reason is chashad, no bracha. But if the reason is maris ayin, so he writes, look inside, where I underlined it. Over here, it's because of Maris Ayin. On Maris Ayin, you do what? You make a bracha. Now, I would just tighten this up a little bit, and I would say a little further. Rabbo said, does every single Ben Pakua require shechita?
No.
That you want to eat. Every single ben pakua that you want to eat requires shechita. So therefore, the chacham did what? They said, this animal, which is walking nice and healthy, you have to do shechita. And if you have to do shechita, and that is not circumstantial, you always have to do shechita. And therefore, you have to have a bracha. It's a mitzvah. It's a chiv. Does every single house with two chatzeros have to have two neiros Chanukah? What the Gemara say?
No.
Well, if it's same side, different side, b'nei masa, it's circumstantial. When it's circumstantial, even if you're in that circumstance, it's not really a formal, objective chiyuv, and therefore no takana bracha. When you have a formal, objective chiyuv announced and enacted by the chachamim, then a bracha is required. Vayter shas. You remember the first sugya we did in the Chanukah sugyas? I do. kafsa.
Oh, yeah.
Ain't zakukla. Kafsa ain't zakukla. So comes along the Beis HaLevi with a gevaldige kasha. An amazing kasha. And it's so logical and so sensible. But you, when we were learning Kofsa in Zakukla, I said, should I do the Beis HaLevi now? I said, no, it doesn't make sense. I'll do it after we do Chashad, then you'll come back to Kofsa in Zakukla. Rabosai, it's Machlokes in the Gemara. Kofsa Zakukla or Kofsa in Zakukla? How do we paskin? We paskin Kofsa in Zakukla. In Zakukla. Asks the Beis HaLevi, I don't understand. Your candle went out after 5 minutes. We're still in the zone of Ad Shetich L'Rego Mina Shuk. Someone walks by and sees what? You didn't light candles. You didn't light candles. So what should you have to do? Mishum Chashad. You should have to light candles. You should have to light the candles. Mishum chashat. So how can you have any shita that says kafsa ain zakla? You have to light the candles. See what the Beis HaLevi says? I got news for you. You know what the Beis HaLevi says? You have to light the candles. There is no shita halach lamaisa that holds kafsa ain zakla. Aye, the Gemara says kafsa ain zakla. Yeah, the Gemara is only arguing a machlokes me'ikar hadin. Me'ikar hadin, if it goes out, as far as Dinei Chanukah is concerned, do you have to light or not light? That's a machlokes we pass in Kav Sein Zakukla. But Lamaisa, do you have to relight? Yes, why? Mishum? Mishum Chashad. That's the Beis HaLevi. Wow. Gevaldik. You know what the Shvus Yaakov says? I don't think so. You can't compare the case of Chashad Adav Chav Gimel to the case of Kafsa Ein Zakukla. Why not? Why is there no concern? Balabatish, simple Balabatish Pshat. It's a good Pshat. Why is there no concern of Chashad in Kafsa Ein Zakukla? Yes, Noah.
You already did the action.
And therefore what?
Not doing an added action.
Okay, are you saying, is this your pshat?
I'm saying what I thought originally.
Is this your pshat?
Yeah.
That's your pshat. Very good, but not yet. Says the Shvus Yaakov, simple pshat, Balabatish pshat. Noah's giving us a fancy pshat. Is that what happens when you have kofsa? What do you see?
You see a wick.
You see oil, and you see that it was lit,
really?
And it went out.
From the street, you see that?
Whatever you see, you see something. As opposed to the Sugya and Daf Chav Gimel, what do you see? You see nothing. So when you see nothing, that's when you're going to be chayshik. When you see a menorah that had a light that now is out, so you know what the onlooker is going to think? Kofsa! And Kofsa ain't Zakukla. He's not going to think he shirked his responsibility. That's not a case of question. That's the Shvus Yaakov. Nice answer. Meaning, according to the Beis HaLevi, do you have to relight?
Yes.
According to the Shvus Yaakov, do you have to relight?
No.
Comes along the Chachmas Shlomo. Simen Tuf Reish Ayin Aleph, Rav Shlomo Kluger, who wants to argue really exactly like, I think, what Noah just said. What's his suggestion? A nice lumdus. What does chashad require of us to do? What does chashad require us to do?
I
understand. I have a house with two chatzeros. So, don't just light on this side. Also light on the other side. I have field, and I have to go ahead and do what? Leave paya. Don't leave it in the middle. leave it at a designated place in the corner. Is Chashad demanding of me to do something brand new? Brand new. No. What's it doing? It's demanding of me to either enhance my activity or redirect my activity. Meaning, don't leave Peah in the middle, leave Peah in the corner. Don't light only one side of the house, light on the other side of the house. Enhance or reorient my activity. But if in the case of Kafsa, I lit the candle, went back inside, sang Mosur, having a good time with my family. And now it went out. What does Chashad require me to do now? Redo. Do something when I really, halachically, have to do what? Have to do nothing. And now it's asking me to do something from nothing that Chashad does not require. Take a look at the underlined piece in the Chochmah Shlomo. Uma shenir lechalek who devad mishum chashad levad ein mechuyev lasos maisa. Rak heke de blav ochi chav lasos kem de blav ochi chav lasos tzorach lasos also be ofen shlo yeh chashad gam kem. Ulekach hokana mipeya kem de blav ochi chav mipeya vechem bener chanak kem de blav ochi chav lahadlik ner chanak kos man shol hidlik chal achiva kol pesa biyodo lahadlik bazeh o bazeh lekach achiva lahadlik b'shneem. So you have the chashada. Aval kavsa came into kvar hidlik ner chanukah kedino v'niftar mechiv lahadlik mechadosh achakach aval chashada levad ze eino chayev v'ze nachon sevara. So that is the chiddush of the Chochmah Shlomo to reconcile these various sugyas. So what? Not addressing bracha. He's explaining why by kofsa ain't zakukla, whereas by, he's not addressing bracha, whereas by the two neiros, you still have to light both. You have to light on both sides. Why don't we say kofsa zakukla? What? Nothing, not addressing bracha. So Rav Ol said what we did today was just a very, very quick survey course on Maris Ayin and Chashada. We saw a couple of nafkamim between the two, but I think the bottom line, Musar Shmuz, is the most important thing I have to say today. And that is, keep in mind the message of the Mishnah in Masechet Shkolim. Is V'yisem Nekim, Me Hashem, Ume Yisrael. You do not want to engage in any activity that could go ahead and be Ma'orer Chashad upon yourself. You want to make sure others don't learn from illicit behaviors. And that is the overall message of our Gemara today.